John Harbaugh is on the line right now, the Giants head football coach. John, good morning. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Great to be with you guys.
Yeah, great to have you, John. And welcome to New York, of course. And I got to start with the quarterback, Jackson Dart. You've had Joe Flacco. You've had Lamar Jackson. You've had some really exciting times with those two players, an MVP Super Bowl year for Joe Flacco, and of course, three MVPs for Lamar Jackson. Your initial assessment now after getting to know Jackson Dart this summer?
Yeah, that's a great question, Boomer. You know, I guess you the same question. I mean, you know quarterbacks, and I'm kind of excited about him. I just feel like he's you know, you watch guys on tape, you watch him in college, you kind of watch him as opponents or whatever, and you get a feel for him. But it's different when you get around him every single day, and he's a really talented guy. I mean, he really can throw the football. I'm really, you know, it starts with talent. It starts with the ability to kind of make plays. And, you know, we had that with Lamar, obviously, and Joe in his way was a great thrower. I think Jackson in his way is going to be really a talented quarterback. So all the other intangibles are really there, too. But I'm impressed with his talent so far watching him in camp.
Any chance that he plays on Friday, or are we going to keep him in bubble wrap?
You know what? We are waffling right now between playing him and putting him in bubble wrap.
I feel like all these players are in bubble wrap now, John. You know, I came from an era where these games actually mattered for all of us, and all of us quarterbacks wanted to play. I was interesting that Tom Brady came out about 2 weeks ago and said, you know, I'm a football player. I want to play football, and I wanted to play in the preseason. And he showed a game in which he was in the third quarter and he ran a play to Randy Moss. What is going on in the NFL that these players no longer play as much in the preseason?
That's a great question. You know, this third preseason game would have been a three-quarter game. You know, when you were playing and when I started out coaching in this league, and that's pretty much completely changed. And really what it is if a guy gets hurt, it's like the end of the world, you know? And, I look back right when I first started with Andy. His first year, we lost our starting center in the fourth preseason game, on the first drive at the end of a 10-play drive at the 10-yard line. You know, and so guys were getting hurt back in those days too. But it's just the idea of getting guys to the regular season and keeping them healthy, and then even the practices, they aren't what they used to be. So it's a different era for sure.
Talking to John Harbaugh on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. If you don't play Jackson on Friday, does that mean that you are comfortable with his grasp of the offense and what Matt Nagy wants to do with him?
Yeah, Gio, yes. And I would already say we are comfortable with that. He's really done a great job in camp. I feel like in the last couple weeks, he's really, really kind of skyrocketed the understanding of the offense. It's operating the offense in practice. We do practice at a very high level, I think, especially for today's era. There's a lot of pressure on the guys. We try to make it as game-like as we can. You can't make it exactly like the game, but as much as we can, we try to put pressure on them in the pocket, all those kind of things. And he's got a good handle now what we're trying to do with the offense. And we're trying to figure it out, too, and just figure out what we do well, what he does well. It's not going to stop with the first game. It'll keep developing past the first game, but I would be confident right now that he could go out and play a regular season game.
Head coach John Harbaugh joins us for a few more minutes. You know, one of the things, how was the spa in West Virginia when you guys spent 13 days there? How was that?
I never saw the spa, Boomer. I mean, I walked through the training room every now and then. The weight room was very gritty, and that was good. And we spent a lot of time in there, but it was, you know, it's really a good setup because we were 12 days. We were just the guys, just the team, just the football. We were hanging out at night, and they got a beautiful, you know, well, a functional facility. They got really great fields. And we were just ball. It was just ball for 12 days, kind of like the old days. It was more like the old days that way. I really think we benefited from it. Then we went to Miami. We got like 4 days down there together as a team. So a lot of focus on football and then, you know, just the team bonding part of it.
You know, another part of it is all conditioning, too. I keep hearing about how well-conditioned the Giants are and something that you take personally. And I know your Ravens teams are always in great condition. Do you feel like you've made headway there?
I do. I think we are a highly conditioned team. I mean, you know, you got to go play games. You got to finish in the fourth quarter, hopefully. And that's the plan, to be able to try to do that. But our guys have practiced really hard. And so much of the conditioning, I mean, we had a conditioning session every morning, whether it was strength or conditioning or cardiovascular or even some of the mobility stuff, every morning to get them going. And then practices should condition you. You know, you should be, most of the conditioning is done through running to the ball and finishing plays and trying to execute the offense. And then trying to execute, you know, at the end of practice, which would replicate the fourth quarter, too. We're trying to do that. So you know, maybe we're breathing hard, maybe we're fatigued, but the idea that we can lock in and execute. If I'm a corner, you know, I can get my feet and my hands and my eyes right and cover when it matters the most in the fourth quarter. That's what we're trying to accomplish and trying to get these guys to think intentionally about so they're ready to play in those games.
John, I'm curious about your transition being somewhere for so long and then coming here with high expectations. Has there been anything about coming to New York and the Giants and this transition at this point in your life and your career that you weren't expecting or maybe has been a little more challenging than you thought?
You know, it's a great question, Boomer. Like, you know, you get to be a little bit older, you know, and you've been through some things. And, you know, it's I would say everything has been new. Everything's been surprising. And really everything in really a good way. There have been no negatives. I mean, it's not to say everything's been positive. It's happened. There's a lot of challenges and stuff like that, but nothing that you don't know is coming down the pike. And I don't care where you're at. You're going to have challenges, and there's going to be things that you got to overcome and fight through and all that. So we have all that. But I really just have been really, if anything, really thrilled with the people. I think the people here are really amazing. All the way through the organization and right to the players. I mean, these players really want to work hard. They really want to be good. They're all ears. They're all eyes. They just come to work every single day. They ask the right kind of questions. Like, we encourage them to ask questions. We encourage them to ask why we're doing things. If they have a better idea, then we'll put it in. You know, we'll do it if it's a better idea. We just ask them to be, you know, just know that, think it through. And if it's, you know, the yes is going to be if it's best for the team. It makes us better. The no is going to be if it doesn't make us better and it's not the best thing for the team. And, you know, I don't know. I just feel like we're building something special and can't wait to see us in action.
Head coach John Harbaugh joins us from the Giants. Three offensive players I want to ask you about. Number one, do I believe my eyes in what I'm seeing with Malachi Fields?
Well, I believe my eyes. I can tell you that. So I think the answer is yes, Boomer. He looks really good. I mean, every single practice, he's looked the way you've seen him look. He's been very consistent.
All right. The second player would be rookie Francis Maui Noah, your right guard. Not a lot has been written about him. I know you guys were excited when you drafted him. You got him at guard now. Maybe eventually he'll be your right tackle. But give me like a little bit of a synopsis of the way he is now becoming a pro in front of your eyes.
Right. Great question. He's very, first of all, he's really determined. Secondly, he's really talented. I mean, he can bend, he can move his feet, and he's powerful. He'll strike. And he's also, and the one question would be, well, you move inside the guard, things happen a little more quickly. Are you going to be able to adjust to the speed in there? He has been able to do that. He's just a real fluid mover. So, you know, we haven't had him for about five, you know, since that practice down in Miami. He should be back today to practice, so that'll help us. But because he needs to keep growing that way. And that first game is going to be new for him. He hasn't played guard in college. He's going to be the NFL, all those things. But he's just adapted really quickly. I do. I'm really excited about him. I think he's going to play well all year.
You know, you got one wide receiver back in Malik Nabers. You take the red jersey off of him. He's practicing fully now. You lose another wide receiver in Calvin Austin, the third. So do we expect to see Malik against the Cowboys in week one?
I got my fingers crossed. You know, and I'm saying some prayers too. But he looked good yesterday in practice. You know, practice is different than the game and all that. So he's got to be comfortable, and all the docs have to be comfortable. And, you know, he's got to look like he can do it and protect himself. But he's trending in the right direction. We'll see what happens.
Giant fans have complained to me about two things on the defense. Their concerns are interior defensive line and the secondary as they head into the season. It's a smart fan base, as you know. You dealt with a smart fan base in Baltimore. Very smart fan base here. What are your concerns about those two particular groups or some of the positives you've seen with them so far?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we do have a smart fan base, and that's exactly the same questions that they should be asking. I mean, I think our outside linebackers obviously are proven very strong, our inside backers. You know, one's proven, the other's a really high pick who's had a great camp, and they've looked really good. Interior, that, you know, Reader and Shelby have looked really good. So those veteran guys, Darius continues to develop. I think he's working really hard. He does certain things really great, and other things he's building upon. So he's got to keep bringing him along. I think he's going to do well. And we got a bunch of guys in there fighting for those spots, and we're also, you know, we're talking to people around the league to see if we can bolster up our depth in there a little bit. You know, you want to put the best guys out there. I feel like if those inside guys can, you know, be powerful, strong players against the run, give us some inside pass rush push, that those linebackers around them are going to be able to thrive. That's kind of our vision. In the secondary, you know, good news for the fans, the secondary has looked very good in practice. They've got to go do it in the games, but corners and safeties and our nickel, Drew Phillips, Nick Jones too as a backup, those guys have all looked really good in practice. They are executing well. Technique has been good. Really happy with the secondary. And I, you know, as an old secondary guy, I'm pretty much watching that every single day. But I think Denard and Addison and our coaches, you know, Donald DeLacio, pass game coordinator, they're doing a great job with those guys.
I'd be remiss to not ask you about Abdul Carter. Obviously, there was some controversy, you know, a couple months ago that you had to navigate through with him and his quarterback. All that seems to have died down nicely. You know, I know when you started in this league, you talk about when I was playing, we didn't have to deal with social media. Social media is just absolutely a pain in the ass these days for these players and these coaches. I know that from where I sit. Do you actually have a social media policy with your players, John?
You certainly can't ban it. I mean, it's too much a part of life right now. The policy is to probably try to take it for what it's worth. You know, we try to nuance it just a little bit and have these conversations in terms of just understand, you know, what you're getting yourself into. Understand that these things don't ever go away. They don't ever die. And then, you know, kind of put in perspective what social media is, which is entertainment. You know, people get on their phones and it's entertaining. And football, in a lot of ways, is entertainment as well. I mean, the business of football is entertainment too. So people talking about football is a really good thing. The fact that there's going to be millions and millions of eyes on football and on you as a result of that, you know what? Think about that. Be intentional about that. Try to think about, you know, what you're presenting and how you're presenting yourself and all those different kind of things. And then the other thing is, like, let's not get trapped in that phone. I mean, you know, sometimes when people are like this, you see them walking, they're on the bus or driving and they're on their phone, working on social media. You know, we get into our building here. We sure would like to be not in there and be, you know, be where our feet are, which is on the field or in the meeting room or in the weight room or wherever it is. So that's pretty much our policy. If it's helping us be a better football team, then we're for it. If it's distracting us or distorting our ability to become the best football team we can be, then we're against it. And we try to take it one situation at a time that way and keep it about what matters for us, which is being the best football team we can be.
You know, I know when a new coach comes in, it's a clean slate for everybody. You start over, you evaluate every player, every front office person. And one of those players, you know, that actually, you know, got embarrassed last year by the interim head coach, Mike Kafka, was Abdul Carter because he was late to meetings or whatever he was missing internally. We haven't heard anything in regards negativity-wise towards Abdul. Do you think that he is going to burst onto the scene this year and have a much better year? And how do you guys expect to use him?
Yeah, great, great question. The answer is a resounding yes. I do expect all those things to happen based on what we've seen. He has been A-plus in every aspect. He's been A-plus on the field in practice. He's been A-plus in the weight room. He's been A-plus conditioning. He's been A-plus in the meeting room. He's been A-plus as a leader. He's a football guy. You know, as I get to know him here, he really cares about the football. He wants the football to be great. He has high expectations for himself. And I know you've read what he said about that. And for the people around him. And he's willing to hold guys accountable to it. You know, so he's an edgy guy. He's an edgy football guy, and we like that about him. And he's been doing everything exactly right. So, you know, if that's an indicator, you know, how hard you work at it and how much you care, along with that talent, then he's going to have a great year. What was the other part of the question?
Well, I was just asking about, you know, last year he had some issues, and Mike Kafka had to sit him down, didn't start him against the Patriots. And, you know, there was some immaturity associated with that. I think you answered right. The question that the immaturity seems to be gone, and it seems like he's more focused on football than ever before.
Yeah, you know, obviously that you guys kind of went through that with the Giants last year and following the team and stuff, and I didn't see that. But whatever happened, I would say, you know, in the end was a net positive because for whatever reason, you know, and I just give Abdul all the credit for that. And, you know, we got a great coach here and Charlie does a great job with those guys and they have a great relationship. So I've seen nothing but positive through that.
So I was very fortunate to run into one of your rivals this summer, just randomly, out at a restaurant in West Hampton, and that was the great Mike Tomlin. And I had a conversation with Mike briefly, and I left that conversation saying, wow, what a great guy, and that was awesome, and he gave me some time. And the next thing I thought, I said, I wonder if John Harbaugh thought about this, like kind of hanging out in West Hampton in the middle of August. Did it cross your mind? Did it cross your mind at all? To not coach in 2026?
Great question. Of course, you know, it crosses your mind. And I ran it by my wife, and she said, absolutely not. You're coaching, buddy. Get to work. We got things we need to do. Mike is just such a great guy. We had such a great, you know, rivalry. I'd like to say that we're like best pals, but it's hard to be best pals when you're in a football death struggle every single season,
yes.
With the guy, you know, fighting for your life. So I like to think he was fighting too, but I have so much respect for him. And, you know, he is a little younger than me too. So like, I don't have a lot of time left, you know? So whatever I got to get done, I got to get it done now, man. He got a little more time to figure out what he wants to do.
Yeah, and that leads
Dion's laughing over here because he's saying that he's like, you're going to live a long time. It's like, yeah, okay, I hope so, but we got work to do. Yeah.
You know, that leads me into my last quick one here, because you talk about age and all these things. You know, the kids say it's glazing when you give somebody too many compliments, but a lot of my friends in New Jersey, they're going to these anti-aging clinics, you know, and they got the peptides and they got the testosterone. You look better than all of them. So, like, what are you doing? What is the secret to look like John Harbaugh at your age?
I appreciate that. You know, that's a nice thing to hear. Everybody, I told the guys yesterday, everybody loves encouragement. You know, everybody likes a good word, so thank you for that. No peptides, absolutely no testosterone. Oh, my God. You know, I'd be scared to death. But I got good genes. My mom and dad, you know, grandfather lived to be 100. You know, we got you know, good Sicilian genes in there somewhere. You know, I don't know, stress. I think stress is like the greatest anti-ager ever. You know, it just kind of keeps you alive. Keeps the motor running every day. You got to come in, be with these guys. Probably, and the other thing is just being a coach, Boomer, you know, in football. And this probably, I think, has a lot to do with it. And my dad's like that, too. Like, he watches our tape every single day. He's 87. He looks like he's 57, you know. But it's just the idea that that you're with these guys, these young guys, and you're around them every single day. And they're being young guys, and they're doing what they do. And you've got to be around them. You got to be a part of it. You got to kind of, I mean, I don't know the songs, but I enjoy some of the songs, you know. But they know my songs. I make them listen to my songs too. So it's just fun, you know. And it just gives you energy, it gives you life every single day. Then the competition, all that stuff. I think it's good. It's good for the human soul.
That's how I feel about the young guys I work with over here, by the way, John. I make them listen to my music as well. Final thing for me, and I think for Giant fans, you know, you are a special teams guy too as well. I know you're a defensive back. Kind of sore, as you pointed out, but special teams has been a little bit of a bugaboo for the Giants over the last 10 years, especially the kicking position. Are you feeling comfortable with Dominic Zaveda, and do you think that he's going to be your kicker, and how do your special teams play out now?
Great question. It's just like, you're right. I mean, it just really matters to us. I mean, we're in here working on the punt protection all the time. Like the fate of the free world is on the line every single day based on our punt footwork, you know? make it really important, you know? I do feel comfortable with the kicking situation. I do think Dominic and Ben are still battling it out. They're both kicked very well. They've shown, you know, they're different. I mean, they're so different. One's right-footed and one's left-footed. So they're very different in their styles, but they're both worthy of having a chance to be starting kickers in this league. And then, you know, you got to go do it in games. You got to go do it under pressure when it counts the most. You can't really predict that until it happens. But I'm confident both these guys are going to be kickers in this league for a long time.
John, it was great talking to you. Thanks for the time this morning. Best of luck, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you soon.
No, it's an honor being on with you guys. You guys are great. Thanks for the time and the great questions.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Have a great season. Hey, by the way, I got a lot of great questions, Boomer.
A lot of great questions.
I got a lot of those.
I think you got five. I think I got one and a half.
Yeah, but you asked one, and he said great question,
Christian Boomer. Yeah, I know. I probably thought because it was from you, it was a better question than it was for me. But yes, a lot of great questions. you know.
And I thought, you know, Rami in here asked me, he goes, if you had a chance to ask the coach something, what would you ask? And I was thinking, oh, I would ask if he's taking testosterone. And you ended up asking it in a nice roundabout way, and we got a real answer.
Yes, he did. No testosterone. It would scare him. No peptides. He's got good genes. So, good for him, man.
And his dad's great. And his dad's still involved, which is great, too. I mean, dad is an old-school football coach at the age of 87, and his son is the coach of the New York freaking Giants.